Right, if anyone here is anything less than squeaky clean, you pack your things and get the hell out.
Previously.
Ray.
Chazza, would you do me the amazing honour of becoming my wife?
Did you leave a name?
Boris Johnson.
I know you could be my only chance of getting back, but what you want me to do, what you want me to be, is corrupt and dishonest.
You've seen Boris again?
Why, you're jealous?
Don't flatter yourself, sweetheart.
Operation Rose. Be your exit route.
Won't be pretty.
If I were to say to you, you've been shot in the head, you've just arrived at the hospital, and Molly is on her way to see you, would that help to convince you?
People taking part in a fun run, headed by someone dressed as a chicken carrying a bucket. A man's dodging through the crowds wearing a donkey jacket, hands tied behind his back, and blood running down his face.
Told you the daft bastard fell down some stairs.
Oh yeah, very original. What next? He walked into a wall.
Not my fault he's got two left feet.
Jean and Alex are chasing him. Suddenly, everything round Alex slows down, and she's alone on the street.
Clear the corridor, please. Move out of the way.
Mum!
Now, Molly, you must wait here.
Female 30, severe gunshot wounds and frontal lobe.
So we must hurry. This could go either way.
Respirations aren't suppressed. Pupils, the right side.
Alex crouches down. Just as suddenly as it started, the episode's over, and people are running past her again. Jean's caught the runaway.
Molly!
Oh, my God. This is it. I think they're getting ready to operate.
I think you've got problems. I had to put up with this every day. All right, when you stop being Doris Stokes, we need to get Edo and Harry into a nice, comfy cell.
He takes off again and throws himself over a wall. Alex and Jean run over and look down at him writhing around on the canal path below.
You see? Walked into a wall.
You know, you forget, don't you, sometimes, how beautiful London can be. The architecture, the canals.
Dead body floating along.
No, you really have no poetry in your soul at all, do you?
No, that dead body there, look.
There's a body floating face down in the river.
My name is Alex Drake. I've been shot and that bullet's taken me back in time. Now I'm lost in 1982. And all I can do is fight and search and stay alive. Because somehow, I will find a way home.
BBC. Ashes to Ashes. Starring Philip Glenister, Keely Hawes, Dean Andrews, Marshall Lancaster, and Montserrat Lombard. Co-created by Ashley Farrow and Matthew Graham. Written by Jack Lothian. Alex, Jean, Ray and Chris are in the mortuary, looking at the dead body with the pathologist.
Think he drowned, then?
No, Christopher, I think he tried to drink the entire river for a bet and failed.
Actually, I'm not certain drowning was the cause of death. Lung samples showed low amounts of water imbibed, enough to suggest the time of death was before the body entered the water. Oh, and let's not forget this.
Blunt force trauma right in the frontal lobe. Certainly suggests murder.
Could be murder. Could be bloke walks home from the pub, pisses a penguin, trips up, smacks his head, right into the Swanee.
Well, yes, that's a possibility. Excuse me, gentlemen. Except for this.
Ligature marks around his leg.
Say it, miss.
What?
Yeah, they do that all the time, marking people and stuff. It's like that film we saw. What's it called? Vault of Evil or something?
No, that was Vampires Not Satanists.
Same thing, really.
Does anybody have an opinion that doesn't emanate from the works of Vincent Price?
Judging by the scabbing on the wounds, I'd say that it happened the same time as the blow to the head.
Full marks to D.I. Drake.
Don't suppose you have a name to go with a body?
No idea at all.
No, of course, well, that would be too much to ask.
I didn't think so many people would go missing.
Maybe some of them don't want to be found. Pressures of work, home life.
Hey, it'd be pretty hard for her to go missing. You'd hear her coming a mile off.
Could plug the Watford gap with that.
Hey, she's so fat, wherever she sat in the room, you'd be sat next to her.
Yeah, maybe she's somebody's mother. Maybe somebody's desperately worried about where she is, whether she's dead or alive, and maybe she'd like nothing more than to let them know that she's all right and that she's thinking about them all the time. So why don't you two just keep your stupid jokes to yourself, all right?
As Chris is going through the files, he comes across a photo of a man. He picks the file up.
Mom?
Not now, Chris. I'm not in the mood.
No. I think I found our fella. Colin Mitchell. Wife reported him missing a few days ago. Father also phoned to ask.
Alex takes the file.
Gov, we've got an ID on the victim. Colin Mitchell.
Right. Me and Bolly will go talk to the father. Chris, Ray, you inform the wife. Remember, this is a murder investigation, so for the moment...
We're looking into the causes of death.
Correct. No point tipping our hand, so we need to.
So? Have you thought of a date yet? Because my mum's driving me crazy, asking every 5 seconds.
Almost, yeah. A lot of planning these weddings.
Tell me about it. Wait till you see the dress I've got my eye on. You'll be needing some overtime for that one.
In a rundown building...
Where is that?
Stanley Mitchell.
Yeah?
Our neighbour said we'd find you here. I'm DCI Hunt, this is DI Drake. Can we have a word?
Ah, you're here for the meeting. It's so good of you to come. I must admit, I was a bit sceptical myself at first because, you know, it was a great success in America, but we're different here, aren't we, here? Not quite the turnout I was expecting. But you've got to try, haven't you?
Turnout for what?
Neighbourhood Watch. You're here to give the talk, aren't you?
Well, you see the thing, eh?
Could you just give us a second? We'll just... Thanks. We can't tell him now. Look at him. He's just trying to do something good for the community.
You're not seriously suggesting that we give a pep talk to the senile squad. You are, aren't you?
Well, you know, it's amazing how much these places change. It's nice to give them a bit of hope.
I've got Garibaldi's.
Bloody hell. So, how can you help your community? D.I. Drake, any ideas?
Well, you should never be afraid to call the police if you see something suspicious.
Well, within reason. I mean, if some bugger's nicking a milk bottle off your doorstep, it's hardly worth calling the flying squad round, is it? I mean, feel free to give them a clip round the ear, though.
Although you should never take the law into your own hands, of course.
Well, not unless you can handle yourself.
It's best just to stay out of it, really, even if you can handle yourself.
Well, obviously. Some bastard climbing through your bedroom window, you're well within your rights to smack him over the head with a vase or a chair or any other such bluntish object that may come to hand.
Technically, though, that would be assault.
Well, just make sure the bugger's still breathing when you ring 999. Nobody's gonna go at you for fighting back.
Well, what if you can't fight back?
Yeah. Well, then remember the Dunkirk spirit and run like hell.
No, I mean, what if fighting back just makes it worse?
Well, that depends on how you define worse.
Well, worse than three guys in a baseball bat. Worse than being dragged under the wheels of their car.
Bill.
They're not gonna do anything. They're just gonna stand there, bugger off, and we'll still be left in the shite.
Well, we're here now. So whoever's causing this trouble, I'll go and have a word with him.
Talk? That's great. Just bloody great.
Maybe best we end the meeting now.
Yes, definitely. That's not actually the reason why we came here.
Later, they sit down at a table with Stanley.
Sorry to have to tell you like this.
No, I understand. Thank you for waiting. And thank you for the meeting. It means a lot to them. Trying to keep the community alive. Do you know how he died?
Oh, we're still pursuing lines of inquiry.
There were markings on his arms, cut in, spiral-shaped. Does that mean anything to you?
Trevor Riley.
Trevor Riley?
He's the man Colin worked for, used to. Financial investments, he says. He's a loan shark. There isn't a street around here where he hasn't left his mark.
Never heard of him. Somebody makes waves on my patch, I tend to know.
Oh, but that's Trevor Riley all over. He's sneaky with it.
I loved my son. But when he started working for that man, I cut him out of my life. And now he's gone.
You take as much time as you need.
Chris and Ray get out of their car.
Bloody hell. It's a bit swanky, isn't it? You've got your eye on something like this, have you?
Why would I be doing that?
Come on, you get married, you can't be living in a pokey little flat. And sooner rather than later, she'll be all fat up the duff.
Oh, we haven't even talked about having kids yet.
Not a biological clock, mate. Once that goes off, it's worse than Hiroshima.
How would you know? You've never had a proper girlfriend.
I've had plenty. I'm just not dumb enough to get stuck with one. I'm like Liberace.
Puffed it?
No. The other one, what's his name? Valentino. That's it. I like Valentino.
Hello?
A beautiful woman.
Police. We're the police.
All right. Please, come in.
Donna leads them into a sumptuous living room. There's a framed photo of Donna and Colin on a side table. Donna smiles at them expectantly.
You reported your husband missing, Colin Mitchell, a couple of days ago.
That's right, yeah. We had an argument and he went for a drive to clear his head. He'll probably get in touch, though. Maybe I just panicked, didn't need to get you lot involved.
Right. Well,
what?
Would you like to sit down at all? Cup of tea, maybe?
No, I'm fine.
He's dead.
Found his body.
What?
In the river.
There must be some mistake. He's not dead, he's just missing.
He definitely looked dead.
No, I think you must have got the wrong person. I'm sorry you've wasted your time coming out here.
Now they're at the morgue.
You sure we're doing the right thing?
I'll grow some, will you?
And then...
Donna comes in and stands beside Ray. Colin's body is underneath a sheet in front of them.
This really is a waste of time. My husband isn't dead.
Right.
Chris and Ray look on uncomfortably. At the police station.
Trevor Riley. For some reason, this roach has scurried under my radar. We're going to change all that. This scumbag's got an M.O. Spiral brandings on the arms of those that piss him off. Shall I see if we've got anything on the files about that? In the meantime, you lot, knock on some doors, ruffle some feathers. I want everything there is to know about this man. He's now become the prime suspect in a... He's now become the prime suspect in a murdering. What is that noise?
We didn't know what to do with the cuff.
She just won't stop. She's like one of them dolls that cries all the time. Mitchell's wife. But before you go in there, Gov, we might have done something stupid.
We showed her the body.
Yeah, I mean, she wouldn't believe us. We had to do something.
Well, it needed a positive ID anyway. I take it you got one.
Oh, very classy. God only knows what sort of trauma you two have put that poor woman through.
She kept saying we were wrong.
Alex goes through to Donna.
I'm so sorry. Donna, you might not believe me now, but sometimes it's almost better to know one way or another when someone's missing.
I didn't expect this.
No, you always want to hold on to a bit of hope, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did your husband mention any problems he was having with Trevor Riley at all?
No, that's not possible. Riley wouldn't do this. He wouldn't.
It's just a line of investigation that we have to follow. Did he mention anything? Anything you think might help us?
No. No, there's nothing.
Sorry, Mum. It's just there's a call. They say it's quite urgent.
Oh, thanks, Jess. Do you mind?
Alex goes to pick up the phone.
Dear Drake.
So, Alex, they're about to start operating on you. You might not have much time left.
I know.
Your new life could soon be over. It's a shame. Together we could have made such a difference to this world we find ourselves in.
I am making a difference.
That's sweet, Alex. Do you really believe that?
Why are you so keen for me to get involved? Feeling a bit lonely.
They're not holding out much hope for the operation. Lots of brave faces for little Molly. I'll say goodbye now.
Riley?
Now they're in Jean's red coupe. It screeches round corners and down the road until it reaches a parking lot outside a drab-looking building. Alex and Jean head down a corridor until they come to a door with a sign on it saying, Trevor Riley Financial.
Trevor Riley?
Let me guess. Cheap suit. I'm second bird. Police.
Now you're smarter than you look.
First time I've heard you lot come round. Don't want to waste your time, so here.
So what's this?
My lawyers. Whoever's been complaining about me, whoever's spreading these lies. Talk to them, they'll sort everything out. You still here? Okay, that wasn't very nice.
We'd like to talk to you about Colin Mitchell.
He worked here. Then he didn't. That's about it.
We found his body.
He's dead.
He was found with very distinctive markings on his arm.
Your own personal brand.
Well, that's different. I'm starting to think someone's messing with you. I want to talk off the record.
Sorry, I don't negotiate with tossers.
Let's just speak hypothetically, then.
Oh, let's.
These marks are such a trademark of mine. I'd be pretty stupid to brand someone just before doing them in, wouldn't I?
Well, at this point, I'm not ruling anything out, including your stupidity.
You think I'm scum, that's okay. I run a legitimate business. Personal financial services, and yes, people don't always read the small print. People are stupid, it's not my fault. Not up to me to look out for them.
There's no such thing as society.
There you go. I'm just taking advantage of the current economic climate. Now, as the situation stood, I had no problems with Colin. I'm guessing Mitchell's dad and his cronies at the neighbourhood watch put you up to this. Show me some evidence. A warrant. Something more than these bollocks accusations, because at the moment, I am 2 seconds away from taking this and getting you charged with harassment.
Jean staples his tie to the desk.
1 second, 2 seconds. Go on then, try me. You know, I've had harder shites than you. Friday nights after a curry. And when I'm done, I don't sit there and ruminate about the individual's role in society, my son. I flush him away.
Alex and Jean head out, and Riley rips his tie off the desk.
Tosser!
Riley had a point. Why would he do something that would lead directly to him?
He's dirtier than a bank holiday weekend in Blackpool.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, but it doesn't change the facts. We still don't have anything on him.
Go! Uniform found a deceased car. Abandoned on the wasteland by the canal.
Well, give me the address. Some of us still don't think this is an open and shut case.
We've got a body, we've got a suspect. What more would you like? A bloody great neon sign over his head saying it's a fair cop.
Look, Riley was smart enough to stay off your radar. Branding the body, drawing attention to himself, it just doesn't seem like the sort of mistakes he'd make.
Go on, then. Oi, Raimondo. Do you accompany the good lady to said abandoned vehicle?
Thank you.
Well, it's not a favour. It's his punishment for arsing up the house call to the wife.
Chris was there too.
Well, he's not here now, is he? And you are, so shift it. Mush!
Chris finds Shaz in the kitchen, making a hot drink.
Making tea?
Hot one?
Yeah. No. About the date for the wedding.
Finally.
Yeah, well, it's all becoming a bit of a circus, isn't it?
I like the circus.
Yeah, right. Well, it might be easier just to, you know, elope or something.
Easier or more romantic?
More romantic?
You had to think about that, so that's not what you meant. You meant easier, cheaper, less of an hassle for you.
Well, there's no point in getting married if we're going to cripple ourselves with debt, is there?
I never asked you to do that. All I ever wanted from you was to set a firm date. But you can't even be asked doing that. Or what, did you think, oh, it's Shaz, a couple of cans of lager in a registry office and she'll be sorted?
Well, a bit lot less hassle.
Right. So now marrying me is a circus and an hassle. Cheers, Chris. It's nice to know how you really feel.
She walks off. Alex and Ray are at a patch of wasteland by the canal.
There's mom building up within the skull. We need to reduce cranial pressure. Proceed with the anesthetic.
Blood pressure still rising. Stay with us.
Mom?
Ray, why don't you take this one?
I get it. You think I'm a twat for messing up with a wife.
No, I don't, actually. All right, let's just say it's that. OK. You take the lead, Ray. Tell me what you see. Let's start with the car.
Well, it's a Puffs car.
Meaning?
Driven by Puffs and show-offs.
And from that we can deduce...
They like to show off?
Yeah, and maybe the Mitchells were living beyond their means. Maybe they were victims of 80s excess. Anything else?
It's just a car.
Details, Ray. It's the little details that will illuminate the crime scene.
Well, it's not locked.
Because?
Because the little black thing is up.
And that could mean...
I don't know what it means. Maybe it means that he's a knob. You should never leave a car like this unlocked. I can't believe nobody's nicked it yet.
Maybe the person who drove it here didn't care about things like cars.
There's a couple of blankets in the front. Bloody too.
Don't touch them, Ray. You'll contaminate the crime scene.
I wasn't planning to.
Maybe whoever drove the car here put Colin in the front and then drove him here in his own car. Ray, contaminating the crime scene.
Hang on a minute, I found something.
An airline ticket.
Let me see.
Flight tickets.
There's one for the day his body was discovered to Turkey. And this one's for the wife, 2 months later.
Sounds to me like somebody's been spinning you a line, Mom.
Yes, Ray. It does.
Well, Bolly, people don't hide things from me. They just forget to mention it till my boot meets their arse. Get her in here.
Delivery man dropped these off, Mom.
A bouquet of dying red roses. Shaz comes over.
An admirer?
Hardly. I think it might be somebody reminded me I've missed my chance.
A lot of that going around today.
Now Alex is interviewing Donna.
Why didn't you tell us about the flight tickets?
It's just a holiday.
Travelling separately 2 months apart.
You see, D.I. Drake here, she does this thing called psychological profiling. Now, if you ask me, it's a lot of bollocks, but I'm going to have a crack at it anyway. So, nice house, nice car, enough jewellery to signal ships off the coast. Doesn't hide the fact that you're from the gutter. And all the perfume in the world. Can't hide the smell of scum.
Well, that's not psychological profiling, is it? That's just you insulting the lady.
No, I'm saying that Blondie here likes a good life maybe a little bit too much.
Well, you haven't even stopped to consider that they might have been running away from someone.
If you're going to run, you run together, not 2 bloody months apart.
Well, if there's a reason that you're going to run...
Suddenly, Alex looks at Donna.
Donna, did you know that Colin was going to disappear? I think you did, didn't you?
Colin took out an insurance policy on event of his death. We just needed the money. I was to report his disappearance and...
Right, so enough time passes and the two of you are living it up on the Costa del scam.
Right, well, that is lovely, Donna. So meanwhile, there are people out there who are genuinely missing, genuinely need our help. People whose families are sick with worry about them.
So you lied to me then, straight to my face?
I was scared.
Or maybe you didn't want us to link you to his death.
No, really.
You were right about me. I grew up on the estate. I knew Riley. I saw how he went from selling knockoff goods to building up his business, and Colin was so much smarter than him. I wanted us to share in his wealth.
So you were running away from Riley?
We just wanted to start again. Colin's dad was barely speaking to him because of the business. I thought if we could just get away. Riley promised he wouldn't touch Colin. He gave me his word.
Right, so you took the word of a loan shark. You know, you're as bright as you look.
Later.
I've been going over a statement. Still seems like she's hiding something.
I think you're giving her too much credit.
You can't just dismiss this.
Right, Shaz. Two choices. Box A, got a nasty little loan shark who likes to brand those who piss him off. In box B, a dumb housewife who struggles with the alphabet. So which one would finger as a suspect in a murder case?
Don't underestimate the power of a woman, Gov.
Gov?
Got some bad news for you.
Alex looks up. Now she and Jean get out of the car outside Donna's house and head for the front door.
Good of you to look after him.
Hospital said he wanted to discharge himself. At least I could do. Funny, really, all that's happened makes you realise how important family is.
They follow her into the living room, where Stanley's sitting on the sofa with a bloodied face and his arm in a sling.
It's not as bad as it looks.
Good. You look like you've gone seven rounds with giant haystacks. When I said sometimes you have to fight back, I didn't mean literally.
Bill, the one who had a go at you. Some of Riley's boys went down to the wrecking yard that he owns. They wanted to brand him and everything.
Well, so you and the others grabbed your pitchforks and headed down.
You've got to make a stand. And I know what it feels like when they do that sort of thing to you.
He shows some marks on his arm.
Oh, God.
Wife. She got cancer. I wanted to do it properly. One of those fancy private hospitals.
Well, there was Riley cash in hand.
Didn't make any difference in the end. She never made it.
Alex has flashes of an operating theatre.
No wonder she's...
Sorry, what?
I smell.
You drunk, Bose?
Have some water. Kitchen's just through there.
Right, we're gonna get him for you, okay? What he did to you, your son, your family, we'll get him.
Now Alex sees the surgeons working in the operating theatre.
Okay. I'm seeing the bullet lodged in the frontal lobe.
She slides open the door and steps inside the theatre, walking right up to the table. She sees the instruments being used.
ICP now stable. Well done.
She sees herself underneath the sheet.
Okay. Retrieving the bullet. Now.
She passes out and comes to on a tiled floor. Dazed, she looks around her, then uses the edge of a marble table to help herself up. Jean comes into the kitchen as she's getting to her feet. She looks him in the eye.
Good in a long time.
Low expectations, Polly. Just as long as you're not tripping all over the place like normal bloody wisdom.
I'm still alive.
She hugs him.
Good, because you and me, we're going after Riley. The old way, shall we?
Now they're in Jean's red coupe, racing through a number of tunnels.
Right, gents, shore leave has been cancelled. We're working late tonight. Trevor Riley, smug bastard, thinks he's untouchable. But remember Al Capone? Do you know what they got him on?
No.
Taxes, silly bugger, forgot to pay him.
What, like he dodged fares?
So I am betting that Riley's office is crawling with evidence. Like roaches in a chinky. Raimondo, go fetch me my search warrant.
Really?
Really.
Oh, brilliant.
When did you have time to get a search warrant?
Ray hands Jean a crowbar. Nighttime, and Jean's car pulls into the car park outside Riley's office building.
Right, folks, we're going in. My search warrant, Raimondo.
They break into Riley's office.
Yes, that'll go down well in court.
Cross that bridge when we come to it. Right. Let's get cracking.
As Alex and Jean use their torches to search for evidence, Chris and Ray wait outside.
Shit, Riley.
You must have come back for something.
Gov, you've got company. Trevor Riley heading your way.
I've seen enough of these bastards scrumming their way out of trouble, rendering me and people like me helpless to stop them. Not anymore.
Gov. Shit, batteries. Gov. Oh, bollocks, come on. Quick, get out. Come, bloody seas.
Riley starts heading up the stairwell.
Come in.
Jean's hacking at a filing cabinet.
Do you have to do that?
It's locked.
Gov, come in.
Wait there.
Riley's walking down the corridor.
If something's locked away, it usually means there's something in there you're not supposed to see.
A video. Just as Riley's about to reach the office, Chris smashes his car window. Riley turns and runs back down.
What's going on?
What do we do now? Nick it! We're the police!
They break into his car.
Come on, get out of the way.
Ray sits in the driver's seat.
Oh, shit.
Alex and Jean grab what they've found and run out of Riley's office.
Hurry up! Don't shout at me. Shouting won't make me go any quicker.
Get out of my bloody car! Come here! Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out!
They drive off, with Riley hanging out of the driver's window and sent him flying to the ground.
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
Ways and means, Polly. Ways and means.
As Jean and Alex drive off, Riley's left on his hands and knees in the car park. He stands up. Back at the station, Jean puts the tape into the video machine.
Bet it's a skin flick.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you lot have to drag everything into the gutter?
Because we like it.
It could be 101 things, and right away you're thinking about sex.
Hello, they're not wrong. The life of Riley. Oh, bloody Nora, look who it is.
It's Riley and Donna.
I think we get the idea, don't we?
Bowles, this is evidence. We need to watch the whole thing.
He's going to strain a muscle doing that.
Donna and Riley. You were right, she was hiding a secret.
Alex glances down at Donna's expression of distaste on the screen.
Oh, bollocks.
I'm telling you, she wasn't enjoying it.
You don't let a bloke put you in a video unless you're into it.
You're assuming she knew she was being filmed.
We have the wife of a dead murder victim shagging the prime suspect in said murder. Not to mention the life insurance. What part are you struggling with?
She wasn't part of it, her facial expression, her body language.
Is this a biological necessity for women to change their minds every 5 minutes, or am I just unlucky with the women I meet? I say it's Riley, you suspect Donna. Turns out we're both right. I'm agreeing with you. You should be doing ooloops.
Yes, and I am not agreeing with me anymore.
Well, that there is a woman.
I hear you, Gov.
Don't you know anything about it?
Well, you might not have to worry about it for very much longer because I might be going away.
What, are you looking for a transfer?
No, it's not that. It's, well, it's something I've wanted. And it's good. So, I've written you all something, just a little something. Just some observations, you know. A bit of advice, just in case I don't get to say goodbye properly.
Oh, great.
But only if I go. Please, it's important to me.
Right. Come on, you lot. Busy day tomorrow.
They get up to leave.
Night, Mom. Night, Shaz.
Shaz pushes Chris off her.
Piccherina, signorina.
Luigi, what do you think happens to the world when you're not in it anymore? Do you think it all just carries on, or do you think everything disappears?
Luigi shakes his head, at a loss. At home, Alex goes through some paperwork with the TV on.
Your mum's resting now, Molly. She's had a very big operation and won't wake up for a long while. We just have to wait now and see how she responds to the surgery.
Don't be worried. I'm coming back, I promise you. You have to believe me, Moles.
On screen, Molly walks away down the corridor. Jean's shadow looms large on a wall as he walks down a street.
Hey, you got a light there, mate?
Oh, yeah.
Two men in balaclavas batter Jean round the head and knock him to the ground. They drag him to the side of the street and continue punching him. Then they run off. Alex hears someone breaking into her flat. She quickly turns off the light.
Check in here.
Alex is hiding behind the sofa.
Is she here?
No.
Shame.
One of the men smashes the TV and they head out again. Behind the arm of the sofa, Alex looks petrified. People stare at Jean as he walks down the corridor at the police station.
Gov.
Walked into a wall.
Gov.
He goes into the gents.
Gov.
What does a man on the door mean?
Look, it's just a...
man on the door.
Men only.
When are you going to bloody well learn that? Sacred turf, Bolly.
What happened?
Clumsy, two left feet.
They came to my flat.
They lay a finger on you?
No, I hid behind the sofa. But, Gov,
no. Not now, OK? Not now.
We've called Donna in.
I really do not want to talk to any people.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just stop yapping on like some demented chihuahua.
Look, she is in the video with our main suspect. You're not going to let a couple of thugs intimidate you, are you?
He strides out past her.
Gov!
Viv, I want you to stick me in the cells.
Gov.
That way, I might get a bit of peace and quiet.
Viv follows him. Light streams into the cell from a high window. Jean paces, then stops and lights up a cigar. He takes a long drag, then exhales.
He might be having one of them, you know, breakdowns.
No, not the Gov. Breakdown come anywhere near him, he twat it in the face.
Well, he can't sit down there by himself all day. I'm gonna go and have a word.
He said he wanted to be alone.
Yeah, and what people say and what they need are two different things.
Ray shakes his head. In the cell, Jean rubs his shoulder. Alex comes in and sits beside him. After a long moment, Jean turns his face to look at her.
God, you know, it's okay to be scared.
They went after you, Bowles, a woman. I mean, that's a line right there.
No, but we can't sink to Riley's level.
You know, there's always been scum preying on decent, ordinary folk. And there was a code of honour as well. You came at him from the front, not like a coward from the back. Everybody wants to be the centre of the universe these days, writing their own rules, doing whatever they want.
And what are you planning to do?
You know, a good beating clears the head, Bowles. Our Mr. Riley thinks he can run his little empire. Thinks he can bump off of someone like Colin Mitchell without retribution. Well, I'm just working out exactly what sort of retribution is required.
Then he promised me something, Gov. That we'll do this the right way.
Sometimes, Bolly, you have to fight fire with fire.
Alex pushes the tape towards Donna.
I don't want to show it to you, but if I have to... No. I know what's on the tape. I didn't want to do it.
Didn't look like that to me, love.
Riley said Colin couldn't just walk away. I knew Riley had always wanted me. We grew up on the same estate. I did it to protect Colin.
So Riley said if he did what he wanted, he'd leave Colin alone.
Oh, you're disgusted with me. I don't blame you.
No. No, I'm not.
Colin had done everything for me. The car, the house, it meant nothing to him, but he'd taken the job because he knew it's what I wanted. It was my fault.
So that's why you were running away?
Fresh start. Me, Colin. He even planned to send for his dad later.
So if Riley was shagging you in order
Ray,
to...
A little bit of sensitivity, please.
So if Riley was shagging you in return for leaving your husband alone, why did he change his mind?
I don't know. If Colin had never met me, he'd still be here. I'm the one who wanted everything. I wish he'd never met me.
I know. It's the ones who are left behind that have to live through it.
I know you don't want to speak to me. I was wrong, all right? I just kept thinking I'm never going to be able to do this. I'm never going to be able to give Shaz the wedding she deserves. The life and...
You wrote down what you were going to say?
Well, yeah, because otherwise I thought I might panic and say something stupid and... You know, I really wanted to tell you how I felt.
Look at it here.
Shaz smiles as she reads it.
It's all right, I suppose. You spelled fantastic wrong, but yeah, I am.
So?
So, you're an idiot.
I know that.
It doesn't have to be the perfect wedding or any of that. Are you going to get an haircut? Wear a suit? Decent suit, though, not that brown thing you drag out every so often. Shine your shoes, brush your teeth, clean your fingernails, show up on time and all that.
Yeah, of course.
But then it'll be perfect enough for me.
You mean it?
Oh, for Christ's sake, not in the workplace, please.
Raimondo.
Yes.
Do your mate still run that car rental firm?
Yeah, why? What's going on?
Take a scenic drive down to a friend's scrapyard.
Can't get rid of the Quattro, Gov. It's quality.
Listen, I need you two to stay here, OK? Nobody else is getting involved in this. It's going to get messy.
Jean punches Riley as he comes out of his office, then handcuffs him.
Nice day for a drive.
He manhandles him over to a car.
Oh, yeah. Not gonna go in this shit motor, are we?
Jean bashes him against the car, then boots him inside. He gets in the driver's seat and races off.
You know this thing you do? This psychic stuff?
Psychological profiling?
Yeah, that. I don't really get it.
You really want to know? You're just going to take the piss.
Yeah, go on.
All right. Well, it's about looking for behaviour that might provide an indication of character. Like looking at the crime scene, trying to see if any of the details provide a clue as to the kind of person who might have done it.
Like Colin's car, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might be nothing, but if I wanted to off someone, I wouldn't put the body in the passenger seat.
No, you'd put it in the boot.
Yeah, otherwise some plod could just come along and, you know, you'd be done for.
So the kind of person who did this?
Amateurs.
Or they couldn't face putting Colin in the boot.
It'd be a dead weight, too.
This blanket's all folded up on itself.
Well, like a pillow or something.
Yeah, exactly like a pillow. So the kind of person who did this cared about Colin. Where's the cuff?
Oh, he's gone out.
Got where?
I don't know, just out.
A car wrecker's yard. Jean's old, battered car comes speeding in. He gets out.
Do you know I've got a list? Hunt's big book of bastards. You're a new entry, straight to the top 10.
He goes over to the workman.
How's business?
Could be better.
Right, go stick that on a dog to make yourself scarce for half an hour.
The workman heads off, and Jean climbs into the cab of the crane.
What happened to Colin Mitchell? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Sod off.
Right.
Jean starts up the machine.
Oi! Who is that?
The crushing claw closes in, then punches through the roof of the car, peppering Riley with glass inside. Jean maneuvers the claw up, then plunges it down again. It picks up the car.
All you gotta do is tell me and I can press stop!
I don't know! I don't know what I'm doing!
Jean sends the car swinging round in the air.
Before you end up squashed into one of them cubes.
I didn't kill him! Jesus, I did not kill him!
Oh, come on, you were shagging his missus! What was it, jealousy? Put him out the way you could have her full time!
Get me out!
The team drive in.
Gav! It wasn't him!
What? Are you sure?
Gav! Stop it!
What the hell do you think I'm trying to do?
The claw lets go of the car and it plummets to the ground. Alex's mouth drops open in shock as she turns to look at Jean.
Booger.
Get me out of here! Get me out of here now! Now! Get me out of here!
You nearly killed him.
Well, better look next time, eh? Mind you, I have my suspicions. If a man isn't going to squeal, he's about to have his bum conkers crushed by a big machine. The chances are he's telling the truth. We have to let him go, boys. Got nothing on the worm.
Parking tickets?
Yeah. We thought about what you said, you know, Capone and his taxes. So we ran a few little checks.
Outstanding. Loads of them.
Well, that's a good start. Right, come on, then, speak to me. What do you got?
Well, you know how you hate all the psychological bollocks? You're really going to hate this. They're not just going to open up and confess. You're going to have to trust me on this.
Why do women always say, trust me, just before they're about to do something really stupid?
They go to see Stanley and Donna.
Should have brought you grapes this time.
That's fine.
Still, we brought you something anyway. Donna Mitchell, you're under arrest for the murder of one Colin Mitchell, a.k.a. the poor bugger who had the misfortune to be your husband.
What? No, you can't. I don't understand.
I think you understand perfectly well. Oh, come on, Donna. We know exactly what you did.
You see, I know this is hard for you, but well, at least you get to see justice served. What do you reckon, Bowles? 20 years?
At least.
Mind you, depends on the judge. If you're lucky enough to get one of the good ones, you know, the ones who want to bring back hanging and flogging, maybe 25?
30 in that case.
I swear, I didn't...
No, of course. You were at home baking cakes and being a perfect little housewife.
You're, what are you, 26? Well, let's be generous. Let's say you only get 25 years. Well, you'll be 51 by the time they let you out.
Be the 21st century. We'll be zipping about in flying cars and living on the moon. Except you, of course. You'll have pissed away the best years of your life in some dark, dank cell. That's if you last that long.
Do you have evidence?
Oh, I know she did it. Any evidence we need, we can conveniently find. See, I told you we'd find the person that killed your son.
Oh, stop it, Donna. Tears won't help you now. Nothing can help you.
Don't do this. Don't do this.
Alex turns to look at Stanley.
She didn't. She didn't do anything. God forgive me. It's my fault. It's all my fault.
Now Stanley's being interviewed.
You killed your own son. You cut markings into his arm. Drove him down to the river. Dumped his body in there. See, I want to believe that there are still, you know, decent folk out there, Stanley. I want to believe that you had a good reason for what you did, but I am struggling.
It's not like you think.
Never is. Flash of anger, lifetime of regret, still murder.
He told me that he'd quit the business, that he'd walked out on Riley. And I thought, I've got my son back. The boy that I raised. And he wants to start again.
But then he told you about the insurance scam.
I was just so angry. Because there has to be a line where you say no, where you say this is wrong. I wish I'd never said anything. I wish I'd just not in.
Where did it happen?
I can't.
You don't have a choice anymore.
It was at the house. I just pushed him. I didn't even mean. Just pushed him. No! He fell over and cracked his head on the table. And he's just lying there.
So you wanted us to think it was Riley? So that your son's death would mean something, would make a difference?
Otherwise, everything was for nothing.
And is that why you've joined the neighborhood watch? Why you got yourself beaten up? Because you thought it would make a difference?
Your son walked away when he found out what Riley did. And he could have stuck with it, be rolling in it. Most fellows would. But he walked away. I mean, it's not much, but it's something, right? Something.
At Luigi's, Alex is getting the drinks in for her and Jean.
Calcio di punizione in favore dell'Italia. Fallo di
Rumi. Don't you feel sorry for her at all?
She wanted the good life. She pushed him into it. Never live beyond your means. Oi, you two, let that be a lesson to you. There are three types of people. The haves, the have-nots, and the have-not pay for what they bloody haves.
Don't worry, Gov. Got it all sorted. It's going to be the best day of your life.
And the most disappointing night.
Yeah, you can't blame them, though, Gov. You know, TV, magazines, it's all aimed at young people. You can have this.
Wise words. Death is bad, Signore Hunt. See?
Oh, yes, Luigi. Always keep a sticky penny in the pocket for a rainy day. What?
Just a small matter of the bar tab.
Only it's not so small.
Right, yeah, duly noted. And stick some music on. Whatever Mussolini speaks that is, it's giving me an headache.
It's the football, Signore Hunt. Italia, campione del mondo, squadra azzurri, greatest team on earth.
Yeah, it's only because you didn't meet us on the way.
The frequency on the radio changes.
Is there any news, Doctor? Is my mum going to be okay?
No, don't touch it.
Your mum's doing really well, and the operation was a complete success. Now we just have to wait for her to wake up. It won't be long before you can be with her again.
Thank you.
Doctor, the coma patient in room 5 is having a seizure.
Okay, nurse, I'll be right there.
Go!
Seizure!
Luigi hugs Alex.
Bravo! Oh!
Champagne, Luigi, I think.
Si, si.
Joking.
Alex looks at the others.
You know, I'm going to miss these nights. You lot, you're not that bad.
It's not what you said in your letter.
In my what, Ray?
The letter, you know, the one we're not supposed to open until you'd gone.
She holds out her hand, and Ray gives the letter back. Chris does the same, then Shaz.
These are going in my desk, and if, when I get back, then you can have them.
And I'm not repressed or whatever it bloody said. It's bollocks, that.
What you said, Mum, about my potential. I really appreciate it.
Couldn't understand a bloody word, a man.
Jean takes out his letter and gives it to Alex.
What'd you do? Steam it and then seal it back up again?
Nope.
Didn't read it. Not even a little bit curious about what I'd written about you.
You see, that's your problem, Bowles. Always got a question. Meanwhile, there's a perfectly good bottle of shampoo there just waiting to be opened.
Yes.
She struggles to pop the cork.
Give it here.
He takes the bottle and immediately pops the cork.
Oh, you miss me, really.
Yes, Bowles. I'd miss you. She is.
He leaves her to pour her own champagne.
Cheers.
The news next on BBC One, then a song and dance spectacular brings the Omid Jalali show to a rousing finale at 10:15.
Next time.
Mummy, the doctor got the bullet out. You're going to wake up.
Go!
Do you want a hand, mate?
No, look at this accidental death.
It's not an accident.
Murder. Bugger.
DCI Hunt. PC Summers.
Hello, Alex.
It has come to my attention that someone on my watch misappropriated a vital piece of evidence, jeopardizing the entire case. And when I find out who is responsible, I will be very, very angry.
The only man you can really trust.
Then why won't you let me go home?
Whose back you've been rubbing, Ray?
I could ask you the same question.
Take that back.
Who knows what she'd do for a quick thrill?
How are you going to sort this mess out, Alex? Can't go home until you do.